The X-Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X-Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
Radio. Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
On the tree, Santa's on his way, he's filled his sleigh with things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love, every song you hear seems to.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. This is the X Zone on the Talkstar Radio Network. Yep, it's that time of year. You drive your car to the shopping center. You buy, and buy more. And on the way home, you look at the gas tank, and it's time to fill up. That's when it really hurts. You know, you don't mind buying the kids that Xbox or that iPod. And of course, if the wife wants a jacuzzi, you know, it's worth the peace and quietness. After all, after a hard day of work at the office, it's kind of nice to slip into the hot tub and get all mellowed out, get ready to face the new challenges. But to fill the gas tank up, that's where it hurts. I was in Toronto earlier this morning, and regular gas was $1.16 a liter. I get back home to Hamilton because there is no way I'm going to pay $1.16 a liter. And the gas is $1.03 a liter. So I save myself 13 cents on a liter. However, $1.03, and this was at about 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the afternoon, I go back out and the gas is at $1.02. Later on, I go to the post office. The gas is up to $1.06. And I've often wondered, how in the name of heaven does gas go up and down, up and down, up and down over the period of a day? Well, my next guest, we've had him on the show before, and in these troubling times where answers are being sought by everyone when it comes to the price of gas, Richard Clow is going to tell us the truth behind high fuel prices and what the oil companies don't want us to know. And Richard, welcome back. How are you?
Great, Rob. Thanks for having me on the program again.
Hey, it's my great pleasure, Rich. How can the price of gas go up and down? You know, it goes up and down like a toilet seat in a day.
It's amazing. There's a saying, it goes up like a rocket and comes down like a feather.
Oh, God.
And it's all about margins for the oil companies. And, you know, every time it goes up, you know, they make more money. And in this industry, the saying is that for every penny it goes up at the pump, it's a billion dollars in revenue that's generated for the oil industry. And the oil companies are making tons of money again. And by the end of this year, you'll see record profits again by the oil companies. So, yeah, they're making tons of money.
All right, so when we look at the world and we see the conflict in Iran still going on, we see other parts of the world where there's political unrest, does this really affect the price of the crude?
Oh, definitely, and oil companies love it because it's an excuse for them just to raise the price. You know, in Chapter 8 of my book, I titled Chapter 8, Excuses, Excuses, Excuses. and the Middle East turmoil. I don't care if it's where it's at in the Middle East, if it's turmoil or they think it could be turmoil, that's a good excuse for them to raise the price. In fact, I know a guy that works for the oil industry, and he works in the refining end, and the other day he came by and said, he just smiled, and he goes, "Don't tell anybody I said this, but the oil companies love it when there's anything to do in the Middle East where they when they can raise the price." That's what you see, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Iran, whether it's Saudi Arabia. They love it, and they use it as an excuse. In fact, that's why they do about $80 billion of importing every year from the Middle East, because they know that they can use that as an excuse to raise the price.
Richard, stand by. You and I have to take a commercial break. Richard Clough is our special guest. His website is www.richardclough.org. That's RichardClough.org. Are you sick and tired of the high prices of gas? Give me a call and tell me what you're paying per liter or per gallon. These are strange times, and there's got to be a way that the government can say, "All right, guys, we don't mind people making money, but enough is enough." We'll be back on the other side of this two-minute break as the X-Zone continues live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, exclusively on Talkstar.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. She'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. But she'd left her medication, so she stumbled out the door into the snow. When they found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, there were hoof prints on her forehead and incriminating claws marks on her back. Grandma got run.
Welcome back, everyone. Wouldn't it be nice to be in a business and have a product everybody needed? And what if within this enterprise your competitors were few and far between? Or better yet, what if you could arrange it so that in your utopia competitors weren't even truly competing against you but had some type of alliance that would benefit all of your pocketbooks? My guest this hour is Richard Clough, and is that how it really works, that they're all working together within the oil industry to line their pockets and to gouge ours?
You betcha it is, Rob. And you know, you talked before the break, you know, me personally, and I think most people don't mind oil companies making money.
No, of course not.
What I mind is the way that they're allowed to do it, and I look straight to, you know, our politicians, our leaders, for not making sure that this industry is truly competitive. You know, most people believe that there's collusion and price fixing and that sort of stuff going on. You know, and in my book, I have documented proof of that. So, you know, that takes that question out of the consumer's mind when they see in the book the written and verbal documentation of it. This is the only industry that I know of, Rob, that raises prices to suppress demand. And when I owned my own gas station, when the price would go up, and I asked why, that was the normally that was the answer I got. Well, we need to suppress demand. And that was back in 98 and 99 and 2000. You know, and so, you know, here's what happens. The consumer's losing in this business, in this industry. You know, competition is supposed to yield products at the lowest price. It's supposed to spur innovation and strengthen the commodity, the economy.
Yes.
And provide us good customer service. And I make a joke about that in the book. You know, we have to pump our own gas, we have to check our own oil, and you know,
clean
pay
your
for
own
our
windshield.
Water
sure.
And air now. You know, back 15, 20 years ago, that was all done for us, but not in this industry. You don't need it. So it's an industry where they're making tons of money. They belong to the same organizations. Usually it's the American Petroleum Institute or the National Refiners Association. And I make a statement in my book, they're not just swapping recipes when they go to these meetings.
Now, I remember when gas stations were called service stations because you'd pull in and you would get serviced. But now, like you say, it's you do everything yourself. Now, how do they make money if they only make 1 or 2 cents a liter or a gallon?
Yeah, they want you to believe that they're only making money, but the fully integrated oil companies, and I'm talking about the major oil companies, and in Canada, I think there's a couple different ones, but they're still getting a lot of their oil from the same places, like ExxonMobil and Shell and BP. But they're making most of their money in the production end of the business. And in those fully integrated oil companies, it's 65 to 75% of their earnings come actually out of the production end. And the retailing end of it is the least profitable end of their business. But if they didn't have that end of it, they wouldn't have the production end of it either. So they want to say we're only making 1 or 2 or 3 cents cents on the gallon. Well, that's a big lie.
Well, because when you look at it, the retail sales of gasoline is basically a byproduct of the initial refining, because they make their major money with chemical companies.
Exactly. You know, and for every there's one barrel, there's 44 gallons that are made from one barrel of oil, but that's less than 50% of what's coming out of that barrel of oil. Some of it goes to other things, and the oil companies want to keep it that way so they're not forced to make, more gasoline, because that would just lead to more supply. And a lot of people don't know that either.
And, of course, the more supply, then there becomes a surplus, and the last thing you want is a surplus of the product, so they would have to lower the prices in order to get rid of the surplus.
Exactly.
I have one of our listeners just sent me something over here. It's from Spaceman, and he says, the fact that President Bush is in the oil business makes me wonder if he's using his powers to boost gas prices as a way to add to his retirement after he leaves office at the end of next year. You never know. You just never know. Mind you, we were talking briefly about how war is good for the oil industry in one aspect, where they can raise the prices, but all the war machines require fossil fuel, so they've got the best of both worlds.
Exactly, and a lot of people don't know that the military, especially in the States, the military, everything runs off oil, and they know that, and so they win no matter what happens. And, I make this statement in my book, too, no matter, just say, for example, and it's not going to happen, but they don't make money in the production end of it. They can make it up in the refining end of it, or make it up in the transportation end of it, because the big oil companies have their hands in all parts of it, from the time it gets it out of the ground to the time it gets in your car. But the military, especially in the States, and I don't know what it would be in Canada, but in the States, is one of their best customers, and they love it now with the war going on, because it's even a bigger boost for them in their oil pockets.
What would happen, Rich, if there was an alternative fuel that was brought forward that would make fossil fuel extinct like the dinosaurs?
Well, that's really what I'm hoping is going to happen, Rob. The oil companies are fighting it tooth and nail, and in the past they've bought up patents, or they've bought people off to keep that from happening, because they want to continue to do business the way they want to. And I always use Brazil for an example. Brazil went energy independent in less than 3 years, but the government got their hands into it and made them changed the way the game was being played a little bit. And we need to do the same thing, because I believe the technology is there for hydrogen, particularly, and electric, and even ethanol, to get us off this oil dependency, because it really hurts not only the American consumer, it's bad for our air and water. And I don't like giving people like Chavez and Venezuela and other countries that don't like us, like Iranians, the weapons to hurt us through their oil purchases that we give them. So we definitely need to push for alternative energy, and that's one thing that I say in my book that we need to do with, especially our elected leaders. We need to get on the phone. We need to write letters. We need to get involved in saying we need alternative energy in this country, really in North and South America areas need it.
Yeah. Global warming is part of that reason. We need to do something. We need to do something fast because I know there are those people who believe that Mother Earth makes oil without the aid of the dinosaurs, but I'm sorry, I don't buy that. And one of these days, it's going to dry up. Plus, what you're doing is the way I look at it, Rich, is that you're taking a fluid out of a hydraulic system. Mm-hmm. that basically cushions the tectonic plates. Without this fluid, you're causing more friction between the tectonic plates, and this is beginning to show in the increased earthquake activity and the increased volcanic activity. We're disrupting a very delicate balance of nature here.
We really are, and we just keep doing it. For example, up in Canada, most people don't know that, you know, one of the biggest finds up in Canada is in Alberta with the tar sand.
Yes.
Well, most of that's done through a mining process, and you know they're digging, and that's not good either.
Nope.
You know, because like you just said, it leads to a more volcanic activity and earthquake activity.
We're just creating problems where I believe problems don't need to be created. We need solutions. And earlier I said, if in fact we did put a man on the moon several times, don't tell me we don't have the technology and the ability to make an engine that doesn't require fossil fuel.
You're absolutely right, Rob. Absolutely right. And we do, and it's time. It's time that it was brought to market, and time that we got off the oil as our primary source of energy. And in here in the States, it's over $500 million a year that we spend on energy in the United States, and oil makes up over 40% of that. So it's just an amazing thing, and this is oil companies continually capitalize on that, knowing that we don't have an alternative fuel, knowing that they have that lock on it,
yeah,
and knowing basically that they can raise the price at will. And that's what you see happening. I mean, it's just been a yearly thing since the year 2000. It's been a yearly thing. Gas prices have continued to go up since the year 2000. And we're going to just see it go up until we get that alternative energy to market.
When you look at the combustion engine, it hasn't basically changed design since the 1800s. That's because it works so efficiently for the oil producers. So why would you want to create an engine that would, number one, cut down the total emissions, number two, give you better gas mileage, number three, last longer, when the oil companies get the oils, the lubricants, as well as the gasoline? It's a win-win situation for them and for we, the consumer. We just have to keep on digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into our pockets. Richard, stand by. You and I have to take a commercial break. Richard Clough and I will return. We're talking about the truth behind high fuel prices, what the oil companies do not want you to know. Richard's website is www.richardclough.org. That's RichardClough.org. Tell me what you think. Give us a call at 1-877-528-8255. That's toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii at 1-877-528-8255. Richard and I will return on the other side of this commercial break with the news as the X-Zone continues right here live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, exclusively on Talkstar.
Hi, this is Ken Elliott. When I'm floating around the universe, I always try to tune in to Rob McConnell.
Hey, hello there, Kermit the Frog on Sesame Street. When I want to find out what's going on with UFOs or ghosts, I listen to the X-Zone with Rob McConnell.
This is Les Corrigan from Target Internet Development. You're listening to Rob McConnell on the X-Zone Radio Show.
This is John Hogue, Prophecy Scholar, and you're listening to Rob McConnell in the X-Zone.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
My name is Rob McConnell. Richard Clough is our special guest. The truth behind high fuel prices, what oil companies do not want you to know. His website is www.richardclough.org. Richard, we have Norbert in Ottawa listening to us on AM 580 CFRA who'd like to join us. Hi, Norbert.
Good morning.
How are you this morning, sir?
I'm very good. I like to talk about commodities as a general. And commodities like wood, oil, and so on, and gold, and all these things, I think they belong to the country and not to the companies who take it out. And that's where the wrong approach is. These companies are making money on the backs of the natural resources and so on the country. And what I want to say with that is I really don't disagree that the price is really high. I wish it would actually go higher. And the reason being is I think we not doing ourselves a service putting out, like China's at the moment doing, 12,000 new cars a day. I think we have to realize that at one point we cannot just fly around the world and take out gas and pollute more and more and more, and at one point there's nothing left, and we kind of like looking, what are we doing now? The other thing that I find is that governments of foreign origins, like the Middle East countries, they use that as a power source against us. And they kind of, like, they're doing things like human rights, things that they shouldn't be done, and so on. And I find we have to be our citizens of the Western world, be conscious about that we don't use as much of these products.
Well, you know, the auto industry today was complaining because the cars that are on the road today are lasting too long. The lifespan of a car compared to a car going back 15 years ago has increased 15%, and the auto industry is saying, you know, we're not making enough money. We've got to lay people off because the cars are lasting too long.
I don't think the cars are lasting longer than, like, there's still Chevys from the 1950s around. You know, I mean, that is a joke. But what I want to say is, like, we're also doing something wrong in shipping things around the world. For instance, if the price of oil would be really, really high, the production in the Western world, like in our country and the States or Europe, would be feasible to produce it there instead of shipping it from China or from Japan or India or Brazil to this country.
All right, so what you're saying is you'd rather pay higher prices for oil than to pay lower prices.
Yes, and the reason is, I think we have to come to the realization that we shouldn't just take that stuff out. Like Ecuador or Venezuela, I'm not sure, I think it might be in Ecuador. I listened to it on the World News the other day. And they want money to leave the oil into the ground. Like they want that the world community, the World Bank is giving them money that they do not pump any more oil out of the ground.
All right, so why don't you look at it this way? Instead of saying that the price of gas should go up, why don't you say that companies should look for an alternative fuel supply?
And until
such a time, why should the consumer be gouged? Why should I have to pay more than $1.03 a liter? In fact, I'm ticked off when I pay $1.03 a liter at the pump. And because the government is making money left, right, and fist over fist because the gas is taxed and then retaxed, and then retaxed, and then retaxed from the time it leaves the ship or the pipeline into the refinery, the tax starts. So
but
I don't.
Rob, there's something more crucial here at stake. Like the generation what's growing up now, it's the richest generation what we ever had in human history.
It's called progress. It's
like there's more money in people's hands than was ever before.
Well, that's
and
good.
And less money in government hands. Like our infrastructure is breaking down. Our things they need help, they don't get help. But our wealth, our personal wealth is climbing, and our personal debt is climbing with that too. What we have to...
Now, wait a sec. Hold on here. If you show me a person who has got more money and then more debt, you're talking about a person who doesn't know how to manage his assets.
Yeah, but today, like everybody who is coming out of school or finishes his education comes to that point, okay, like I want that house would cost $250,000, $300,000. I want that car would cost $40,000.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that it goes way too quick. Like, I find it's that instant. It's like having that cup of coffee in the morning, and by 3 o'clock you pooped out. And I think we have to live a little bit at a slower pace.
But isn't that up to the...
I was growing vegetables
for
10 years for the market.
Okay.
And last year we left the market because there was absolutely no money in, because Loblaws of Canada bought Earthbound Foods in California.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing in from 15,000 acres organic vegetables into Canada. So for me, produce local vegetables is totally inefficient. Like, I cannot compete with Loblaws prices.
All right, so, but why should the consumers suffer?
No,
like, I'm going
to
tell you,
to leave that stuff in the ground.
No, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you grow cabbage, whether you grow tomatoes, or whether you raise chickens, I'm going to go to the place where I can buy it for the less money and I can get more bang for my buck.
Right. Do you support then a healthy environment when you do that?
Well, sure I do.
Well,
let's say
garlic came in from China instead of you bought it from me at the market.
All right, am I going to pay more for you from you or more from China?
You probably pay more for me.
How come?
Because, like, I cannot work for 25 cents an hour, where China can.
Well, do we actually import garlic from China?
Well, I can tell you that. The bag of Chinese garlic at the moment is at the market going for around $1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's about 5-6 cloves in there, and I usually get $1 a clove, like a bulb.
Right.
Okay. So there's, like, my ratio is about 1-6 against theirs. And so I'm 6 times out with the price there. And you can go where you want. It doesn't really matter what product it is. Shoes, leather goods, furniture, all that stuff is becoming so, like, the ratio... Income production becomes totally out of whack. And in a way, I find if the oil price goes a certain way, then I think that the production, the local production around the world, mm-hmm. is more concentrated again. Why are we importing sheep from Australia, where we have...
All right, I want to talk
here,
about gas.
You know?
I don't want to talk about sheep. I don't want to talk about garlic. I want to talk about gas.
Yeah, but it hangs all together, doesn't it?
Well... I don't see the connection between gas, sheep, and garlic, to be honest with you, except that we import them. All right, so if we stop importing, does that mean we stop exporting as well? And if we do stop exporting, how many people are we going to put out of work by that? Thanks very much for calling. 1-877-528-8255. Richard Claus is our special guest. I can see his point on both sides. However, what are you going to do? Why should the consumer suffer? And by putting the gas prices up, I think that's off the wall. Richard, what's your comments?
I'm kind of agree with your caller as far as I'm happy to see the prices going up, really, and I'm happy for one reason. I think it's getting citizens involved enough to care. I mean, I'm amazed how people just don't care. Now that it's $3, I think they're caring more, and I think the force of that will get our elected leaders to start thinking about why we're in the predicament we are. But I agree totally with you, Rob. The consumer should always be the winner. Yeah. And in this industry, the consumer is the loser, and it's because we allow the oil companies to collude and not play the capitalist system of competition.
Because they know they're the only game in town.
Exactly. And, you know, as far as importing and exporting and all that stuff, there's really one reason they import all that oil. Is because they get it cheap, and they get a tax break on it, and they use it to raise the price. I mean, we just already talked about that in the Middle East. They love the Middle East. Why? Because there's always turmoil there, and there's always an excuse for them to raise the price. When in essence, it only costs them 10 cents a gallon to produce it in the Middle East.
Yeah.
It's costing them less than 10 cents, and yet, what are we paying at the pump? So that's why they do it, and they can put it on a boat and ship it here and sell it cheaper than what we can produce it at. But then on the other hand, we gotta address that too, you know. But if there was truly a competitive market, we would have alternative stuff here, and it'd be being produced, and you would see prices drop down.
I remember when countries promoted import-export, and the citizens were behind them, because at one time the citizens were getting sick and tired of paying so much for locally made and grown products. And with the economy the way it is, mom and dads who are working two jobs and have several children at home putting kids through university and college, and it's not a, you know, it's an expensive, schools are expensive these days, they will go for the lowest price, and you can't blame them.
No.
You know, it's, you know, like, who wants to pay $100 or $150 for a stupid pair of running shoes because it's got a little swirl on the side of it, or that it's because it's endorsed by an athlete who is making way too much money in the first place, and we put them on pedestals, which I totally disagree with. You know, it's got to be common sense. However, I don't think the consumer should have to dig deeper into their pockets. I think government should step in and say, all right, enough is enough. However, if government steps in, aren't they going to be slapping themselves on the wrist, because they certainly take a fair cut out of every gallon of gasoline that is sold, every liter, every can of oil that is sold. It's tax upon tax upon tax.
You're exactly right. And that's one reason I believe you don't see the problem getting fixed. Government wants their money, whether it be royalty taxes, whether it be the fuel taxes, the pump, they want their cut. But you know what? They would also take their cut if we had water that we put in our cars. I mean,
That's right.
Change the way that was happening real quick, because they want their cut too. But you're absolutely right. That's why I'm not for a big tax deal. My number one solution, and I have eight of them in my book, Rob, but the first one I talk about is breaking these big oil companies back up.
Mm-hmm.
ExxonMobil. I mean, there's two names all in one. You know, Texaco and Chevron, Conoco and Phillips, BP and Arco, and Shell's bought up a lot of assets. There's been over 2,600 mergers since 1991 in the oil industry. I'm going to repeat that. There's been over 2,600.
Holy cow.
Mergers since 1991. Now, that's a majority of the problem. And that's why we, in 1998, we had 11, or the same top five oil companies used to be 11 oil companies. And in 1998, the price was, here in the States, was $1.09 a gallon. You know, now it's three times that in just 10 years.
Yeah.
Where are we going to be in another 10 years? I'm telling you, it's just, I'm glad the price is going up, because it's getting people incited and getting people angry enough to go out and do something.
Yeah, but you know what? When you look at the fossil fuel industry and how it affects government, for example, if there were less cars on the road, the government would make less money on insurance. They would make less money, not on insurance, but they're part of insurance. They would make less money on the licensing of vehicles, driver's licenses, and it would affect the economy. So it's the ripple effect once again. The ripple effect that affects each and every pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a situation where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. However, when it comes to the price of fuel, I think it's about time that we went to alternative fuel. We're killing ourselves with the amount of pollution we're putting in the air. Something has to happen. And I think it's time that we did something, but I disagree with the high price of gas, because there are those people on fixed incomes, senior citizens, who haven't got the ability to go out and earn, that are also taking the blunt end of this, who are suffering at the pump. They're suffering with the home heating fuels. It's not fair. And to see the government just sitting back, doing nothing about it, well, you know, we deserve it, because, like you say, we're not doing anything. We're just complaining, but when push comes to shove, what do? Nothing. Richard, stand by. You and I will be back on the other side of this commercial break as the X-Zone continues. Still to come on tonight's show, J.G. Lenhart. Can we prove God is real? Well, according to this scientist, he has the scientific formula that proves there really is a God. My name's Rob McConnell. This is the X-Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. I, for one, am so sick and tired of paying high prices for gas. What are you going to do? You need to go from point A to point B. Come on, in big industries here in Canada and the U.S., let's find alternative fuels. I'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
There I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two, not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously, pacing round like little boys do, and in his hands he held a pair of shoes. And his clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. And when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes.
And now we're talking about the increased cost of gas at the pumps. But it has a ripple effect that goes throughout the, everything we do. For example, the price of gas goes up, the price of diesel goes up, the price of diesel goes up, the price of transporting the groceries to the grocery stores go up. That increases the cost of food. You've got the increase in the cost of refining and the cost of crude oil going up. That means the cost of fuel for aircraft goes up. The cost of your tickets for your airliners go up, your cruises go up. It's a ripple effect, and I don't think, Richard, that by increasing the price of gas at the pump is going to make any difference. All it is going to do, it is just going to affect the people who are on fixed incomes. After all, just because the price of gas goes up doesn't mean that the people are going to get an automatic increase. If, you know, like, it makes no sense. Keep the price down. We know it doesn't cost $1.03 a liter, or what is it? What are you paying now in the States for a gallon?
Oh, the average is about $3.10.
And in your experience, what does that what would be a fair consumer price per gallon?
Still, I have in my book, I think really we'd be paying around $1.70 a gallon, and I go through why we'd be paying that. And you're absolutely right, Rob, when it comes to the ripple effect, especially people don't realize this, what we're paying for diesel. Well, most of the goods and services in this country that are in this country come through transportation, which is trucks. And the diesel price is over 80 cents higher than it was last year here in the States. And so that just, you're right, you pay more for it at the good, for goods that are transported on those trucks, and so we're all paying for it, whether it be in the food expenses or whether it be for those other things that come on those trucks that we buy in the store, whether it be clothing, whatever it may be, we're all paying more for, because it's being moved by by trucks that run on diesel.
Fossil fuel. Hey,
yeah,
Rich.
Fossil fuels.
Rich, so I want to thank you.
I think we're really in the beginning stages of what I see as a major increase to even going higher for retail, because we still haven't realized the full effect of what the barrel of price has done these last 30 days.
Hey, Rich, I want to thank you very much for coming on. I'd love to have you back on in the new year so we can discuss how the fossil fuel industry affected Christmas 2007.
Sounds great, Rob. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on
the
program.
Hey, to you and your family, the very best of the Christmas season, and nothing but health and happiness to you and yours in the year 2008.
And you too, and have a great Christmas.
Take care, my friend.
Regardless of the gas price.
Bye-bye, Rich. Richard Clough, www.richardclough.org. From gas to God, my next guest is J.G. Lenhart. Can we prove God is real? Well, according to this award-winning scientist, he has a formula that proves there really is a God, and he's up next as the X-Zone continues on the Talkstar Radio Network. My name's Rob McConnell, and I will be back after the news at the top of the hour at 6.5 minutes past as we continue from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, right here exclusively on Talkstar.